Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Paddle Pod, your weekly podcast covering professional paddle presented by Hugo and Gons. We're on to episode 70, and as always, joined by my co-host here today, Hugo. It's great to have you on. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks, Gons. 70, that's a very round number, and I do enjoy round numbers. So, yeah, pat on our back just to celebrate the big achievement. I never thought we'd get to 70, to be honest, so very, very happy and proud. And yeah, just buzzing to be back chatting more paddle.
Yeah, I mean, as I was saying, it felt like really heavy. I'm not going to lie, like 70 episodes. I mean, it's a pretty big milestone, as you said. Probably wasn't expecting it to continue on this far, but love the journey so far. And I'm sure that we both think that we still got plenty ahead. And yeah, I can't wait for episode 100, which, I mean, it's just getting closer and closer by the day.
Yeah, literally. I mean, I don't know. What did we agree to do, Gons? Are you stripping live or something like that?
No, I think we'll keep that for another special milestone. Maybe like, I don't know, a couple thousand subs or something like that. I mean, I'm not sure people would want to see that anyway.
Probably not. I mean, they wouldn't want to see me either. So yeah, I think we should just stick to paddle.
Yeah, exactly. But talking about paddle, as we usually do in these episodes, we did leave last episode in a bit of a cliffhanger, right? I think that everyone in our audience are very keen to listen to what we've got to say and continue the discussion that we were having towards the end of last episode, which is, of course, I think one of the main topics currently in the paddle world. And that is none other than who or how can Coello and Tapia be stopped? Because they've obviously been on a very dominant streak lately. I think you said it correctly in last episode, Hugo, it's 25-0. I mean, they've won every single tournament since Malaga. And I mean, I'm not counting the P2 in Finland because obviously they didn't play. But other than that, I mean, they've been absolutely unstoppable. And to be honest, Hugo, I think this is a huge topic, not only because they've been on such a hot streak and having won so much, but to me, the main point is how they've won. I mean, they've looked absolutely dominant. I can't even remember. I mean, we did have the final in Valladolid where they did drop a set. But other than that, I mean, I don't know how many sets they've dropped over this last 25-0 streak. I mean, but
it's just that one. It's just one.
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't know if we've seen such a like dominant streak in definitely not in recent times. And the way they've looked in finals where they're absolutely dispatching Chingalan, who previously had been such a fierce competitor to them. So we kind of then ventured into talking about, yeah, who can stop them? And we did hint as to who we thought could stop them. So maybe Hugo, I'll let you kick off and give us your thoughts.
Yeah, well, firstly, I'd just love to emphasize the fact that I think we both agree on this. This is the highest level that we've seen Coello and Tapia play at, because even though last season, the first 6 months was absolutely dominated, or they were dominated by Coello and Tapia, and they obviously were very quick in overtaking Lebron and Galan and making the number one spot, and they haven't lost it since. But it is true that they kind of stole that number one spot in part due to Lebron's injury and the fact that Lebron and Galan weren't really reaching consistency. They weren't playing consistently. Lebron came back and then had to stop again for a couple of months. So that's one side of it. And I also think that in reality, this year's rivalry against Chingalan has been, I'd say, more even and also of a higher level than last year's rivalry with Stupan Dineno, who were the real contenders for the number one spot. It is true that Stupan Dineno fought for the number one spot right until the last tournament, and I don't know whether Chingalan are going to manage that. So there's an argument to basically say that what I'm saying is wrong, but just looking at the level, looking at their head-to-head kind of comparison, I do think that A, it's been a more even rivalry, as I said, and B, I just think Coello and Tapia are playing better than ever. I mean, I think Coello as you said last week, and we've described a number of times, has been the X factor over the last couple of months. I didn't expect him to get back from such a kind of big dip in his form when comparing to the first 6 months of last year. And then up until about 2 or 3 months ago, where his smash wasn't working at the back of the court, his defensive abilities weren't being enough. He wasn't coming up to the net to block as much, which was obviously a reflection, or I think was a reflection of a dip in his confidence. And then Dabia on his side, he was just being a bit more 2022 Dabia and 2021 Dabia, just a little bit more lazy throughout matches and maybe a little bit less motivated because they were winning so much. But now I think they're at their peak, back to their best. Well, I think they're playing better than they ever have. And that's probably the reason why they pretty much clinched the number one spot, which obviously leads to the question of who do we think can beat them? Now, the first thing I wanted to do in that sense is I had a quick thought of which pairs have beaten them so far. Mm-hmm. So obviously, Chingo Dangalan this season, consistently. LeBron Angalan, when they were together last season, also in the first tournament of this season. So it is true that they've done it. Stuban Dineno, as I just mentioned, not for the first 6 months of last season, but quite a lot towards the second half of last season. Then, if I'm not mistaken, Bergamini and Victor Ruiz beat them in one match last season, a one-off. And then Paquito and Chingoto as well in the last tournament, which obviously Paquito and Chingoto won. It was in Madrid, if I'm not mistaken, and they beat Koyon Dabia in the semis, and they also beat Lebrangala in the final. So I think it's just five pairs that have beaten them so far. I might be wrong. And I mean, there's a couple of pairs who, if the question is, who do we think can steal the number one spot rather than who can beat them, which I think is more the question. Bergamini and Victor Ruiz, I don't think it's even worth discussing. Paquito and Chingoto, I don't see them consistently challenging throughout a whole year because Paquito is, being honest, not at the level of Galan right now. So I think the partnership would be worse than what Chingalan are currently offering. I don't see Stupan Dineno doing it. I think they had their chance last season. They're very close, and that's really undermined their confidence. And we can see how Stupan Dineno this season are really struggling to play at the level of last season, both when they were together, but also separately. Obviously, Stupa being with Yanguas right now, and that partnership not really reaching the highs that they were probably expecting. And Dineno with LeBron, they've been playing well, but they haven't broken that barrier again. Well, basically of beating Goyan Dabia or Chingalan. So it basically points at two pairs, Chingalan and LeBron Galan. But as I just said with Stupa and Dineno, I think Chingalan have had their shot. And if they don't do it this season, it's going to be really tough to turn it around for next season. Also, there's already a massive points gap. So, I mean, all our audience, I think, knew that towards the end of last episode, we were thinking of LeBron Galan. Do you maybe want to kind of elaborate on your, hopes for them to get back together, given the current, crisis that their relationship is suffering? And B, do you actually think that if they were to get back together, they could steal the number one spot?
Yeah, so I just want to say, firstly, I really liked your approach of how you went ahead with this question. And I'm going to go slightly different, but I think it kind of takes us to the same end result, the same answer, which is when I think about how can someone challenge Goyan Tapia consistently, right? So what is Goyan Tapia so good at, right? They're incredibly, they're amazing at everything, obviously. But their main game is offense, right? So I think if you want to have a shot of beating them, you have to also be really offensive. I think you have to bring your A game on that side. You can't have one player that's really good offensively and the other player can't contribute much offensively, right? Because you know that both Goy and Tapia, even if one of them is not necessarily playing the best, the other one is going to bring their A game offensively. I mean, it's just what we've seen most of the times. And if you've got both of them, like we've seen recently, have their A games offensively, I mean, you're done. You just can't generate enough winners, or just can't generate enough points against them, given that the baseline defense is obviously still really solid. So having said that, I mean, the pair that just like jumps straight to mind, where on one side, you've got a really good player offensively that can generate enough winners. And on the other side as well, it's obviously LeBron and Galan. I mean, I think it's just incredibly clear that when you look at both players on both sides of the court, they can challenge. I think they can rise up to that level of trying to beat Goyan Tapia. And as you've mentioned, they have beaten Goyan Tapia obviously as well in the past. And in the beginning of the season, for example, where it was like incredible match. So I guess to answer now the other part of your question, like the feasibility point of view, I mean, that's obviously, I think, the main challenge, right? I mean, their personal relationship is what it is at the moment. And it doesn't seem like it can get better anytime soon. I think what I will say is both of them are incredible competitors, right? I think that above all, they desire winning. And I'm sure that they've got an incredible, like they, I'm sure that they just want to get to that number one spot again. So I could see them potentially mending, you know, fences and kind of trying to work things out if they both see that they essentially have to be together to get back to that number one spot because they can't beat Goyan Tapia otherwise. I think obviously now they're going through a phase where they're maybe trying other partnerships to see if they can do that. But realistically, I mean, the paddle game is also so what we've seen in terms of like players leaving players, but then coming back with them is just such a small world that I could in the future definitely see them trying to resolve their issues if that means that, you know, they can then be together and potentially challenge Goyan Tapia.
No, I agree. I think beyond their current relationship status, they obviously did get on really well in the past and that relationship worked both on court, but also off court. I mean, they were friends. They were very close to each other. They went out together. I mean, a couple of our friends have actually seen them going out together in Madrid. So they clearly had a relationship beyond the court. Now, a lot of things can be said in the heat of the moment and friendships can be not broken, but, you know, damaged, but a lot of the times they can be rekindled as well. So I do agree. I think LeBron and Galan, above all, they're two competitive animals. They both, probably what they value the most is being at the top of the rankings. Now, we saw Galan say that his priority this season was being back to the number one spot in the world rather than winning a World Cup with his country. Now, I know that he's already won a World Cup, but he's also been the number one ranked player. So I think that just demonstrates his ambition on an individual level. And I think if Goyan Tapia continue with this course of just smashing everyone, and it is true they haven't smashed Chingalan throughout the whole of the season, but there's a big gap between Goyan Tapia and Chingodongalan now. If the gap remains until the end of the season, or say Chingodongalan continue to not win tournaments, I definitely think that Galan's going to think, who can I partner with that's going to give me the chance to be the best pair in the world and beat Goyan Tapia? And the prime suspect is LeBron. Now, maybe looking beyond LeBron and Galan, because obviously there's hopes that maybe other pairs could beat them. I did have a bit of a think, and one that I'd love to discuss with you and potentially surprises you a little bit is Yanguas Garrido, because they were playing so well this season when they were together and they'd progressed from, I think they were ranked 8th or 9th as a pair when they joined. I think it was 9th actually. And they were already ranked 5th. I think they were even ranked 4th in their last tournament. And then they obviously split up because Yanguas decided to go with Stupa. That's not working as they thought it was going to work. Do you think that they could get back and say, let's give it another go and see whether we can both do it? I think they both have the attacking attributes to be able to dominate in offense. And both of them can generate a lot of winners, which obviously you've said that a pair that consistently challenges Goyan Tapia and then actually manages to beat them has to be able to do that. It can't just rely on one player, because we've seen Galan be the best player for the past 12 months and carry all the weight on his shoulders, and probably the best individual performances that we've watched from a player, full stop, and he hasn't been able to. And one of the reasons is because he can generate 40 winners, but if his partner's not pulling part of the weight, I mean, obviously Chingoto's pulled part of the weight, but not a huge amount of the weight, then I think that's one of the key reasons why they haven't managed it. So yeah, I mean, what do you think about Yanguas Garrido?
It's an interesting one. I can definitely see the potential. I'm just not sure if right now they'll be able to challenge. And I think that's mainly coming from Garrido's side. I mean, I'm really impressed about Yanguas' evolution throughout the season. And we saw him have an incredible tournament at the French Major, even against Koyantapia. I thought he had an incredible match in the semifinal. But on Garrido's side, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, he's never beaten Tapia. I mean, their head-to-head record is ridiculous. I mean, I think it's like Tapia has double-digit wins over him and Garrido's never beaten him. So the thing with Garrido, just there's that question around the mental side still. And I'm just not sure if when you compare against Koyantapia defensively as well, like can he hold his own to I guess weather the storm of what Tapia and Koya bring offensively. I just don't think that his base is that solid. Obviously, offensively, he's incredible and he can smash it pretty much from anywhere. So I could see the potential, but I still feel like he's got a lot of work to do, both mentally and defensively. So I'm not sure if they're ready yet. I mean, they did play in that final in very early on in the season. And I mean, they got absolutely smashed. I think it was like 6-2, 6-1 or 6-2, 6-love, something like that. So yeah, but I can definitely see the potential. And obviously if they continue evolving, then they can definitely be up there. But I do like Yanguas kind of as a right-sided player. I think the two right-sided players right now that would give me confidence with a very good backhanded player is Yanguas and Lebron. So any combination of Yanguas, for example, and Galan, I think could be really interesting. And who knows, maybe we will see them in the World Cup. Maybe they take a liking to each other. Obviously, Yanguas potentially is not the most loved player in tour with all his antiques and stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, the players play with I think that they don't really necessarily mind that unless there's like such a big personal grudge. So Yanguas and Galan could be really interesting. And yeah, I mean, another one which maybe I'd like to float to you and throw this back to you, thinking about now LeBron and the right side, what about a potential combination of Stupa and LeBron?
Yeah, we've actually commented this online and it was actually kind of our favorite pair when Dineno and Stupa split. We were both like, it makes total sense for LeBron to continue on his best side, well, the side where he's reached the number one spot, and play with Stupa. And it just seems, I mean, Stupa is a serial winner. He's won with all his pairs. He won with Alex Reith, and he was the key player in that partnership. He won with Pablo Lima. He was the key player in that partnership. He won with Dineno. Again, I mean, they obviously both worked really well in sync, but he was the kind of winner generator in that partnership. So, that reflects why I'm quite surprised about the fact that it's not working with Yanguas, but who knows? I mean, we saw a bit of an improvement in their performance as a pair when they played Koyantapia in the semifinals in Paris. But yeah, I mean, maybe going back to Yanguas and Galan very, very quickly, I really like that. I think I totally agree with your point around forehand players that I think could create a partnership that has the potential to beat Koyantapia consistently and reach the top of the rankings. I think Yanguas and LeBron are my top two suspects. I mean, Chingoto has proved that he can do it. And actually, he's the only player beyond Galan that's beaten Koyantapia with a different pair, because obviously he beat them with Paquito once. Now it's just one match, but I think it does demonstrate his potential. And maybe we're forgetting him a little bit, but I just think that his winner generation is not enough to, throughout a whole season, be able to play against these two animals who average
exactly
so many winners. But yeah, Yanguas Galan, I think it could definitely work. And we'll see whether they try it in the World Cup. I mean, I think it's a great chance for them to try it. And imagine it goes really well. Imagine they win a key point in the World Cup against, well, it could be Tapia Chingo, or it could be against the Super Pibes. And they'll say, hey, look, I mean, let's consider this. I can definitely see it. As I said, I really like LeBron Stupa. I think that LeBron is more of an X factor on the forehand side of the court, at least right now, because he can generate the amount of winners, that a backhand player can generate, but from the forehand side of the court. So I think that's key in this whole kind of debate. And maybe one that is similar to what we've been discussing because it involves Yang Guas, but with LeBron next to him on the backhand, I think that on paper, they can both generate a lot of winners. And maybe that's what LeBron really needs if he wants to stick to the backhand, given that actually when we saw the semifinal against Chingalan very recently, now I know LeBron lost his head a bit and he made a lot of key mistakes, but you could see that he was having to put the weight of the pair on his shoulders in terms of generating winners because Dineno wasn't really being able to. So could Yang Guas be his perfect pair beyond their current relationship?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the reason why maybe I didn't mention Yang Guas and LeBron is exactly that. I mean, I think they're probably at a point in their personal relationship, given what happened early on in the year, that I just don't think it's really feasible at the moment. I mean, definitely in the future, for sure. Because like I said, I think the power world is so small and, you know, at the end of the day, they're living with each other every day. So it's kind of like pointless to hold a grudge over too long. I mean, at some point, everyone's really going to probably be playing with everyone. And they're two incredible players. So it'd be a shame, essentially, if they don't pair up because like they just have a bit of a personal grudge against each other. But at the moment, or like with a, you know, 6 months visibility, let's say, I just don't really see it very feasible at the moment. But from a power perspective, I mean, if LeBron wants to stay on the backhand, I think it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's LeBron's best option, really, if he wants to stay on the backhand and challenge for the number one spot. So yeah, maybe just going back very quickly to Stupa and LeBron. I think that would work really well with LeBron back on his natural habitat. The only bad thing I'd say, my only question is Stupa's current level. I know LeBron's current level is not what it used to be, but I just have a feeling that if he goes back to the forehand side of the court, he's going to find it easier to be at that level and have that cross-court battle against Goya, for example, and be able to dominate him. Can Stupa really challenge Tapia in that cross-court battle? And can he actually get back to the level that he was playing at towards, well, the whole of last season, really, and even at the start of this season? I mean, I'm just not sure. But I do think that on paper, that partnership seems to sync really well. And I think their personalities can match because Stupa is just a really easygoing guy who's played with so many players. And I think he just cares about winning and doing as best as he can. And I think he's quite happy to just ignore. I think he would be happy to just ignore LeBron's comments and faces because I think he's more worried about winning. And that's the reason why he's played with so many different pairs. Now, one that I definitely wanted to throw in the mix before we log off is Galán Dineno. And I tell you why. I definitely think that if we're talking about pairs that can challenge Goyan Dabia for the number one spot, Galán has to be in that pair. I mean,
100%.
He either has to be in the pair or is the prime suspect because what we said last week, I think we both agree that Galán, Dabia and Coelho are currently the top three players in the world by quite a bit of distance. So I do think that that would give this other pair the best chances of beating Coelho and Dabia. So who can he play with that can give him that chance? He's tried with Chingoto. We've talked about Yang Guas. We talked about LeBron. I just think that Dineno is, he'd offer Galán a very similar scenario to what Chingoto currently offers. But if Dineno managed to get back to his level last season, where he was generating a lot of winners next to Stupa, his smash was on point. And I think we've mentioned it a few times. We're a little bit surprised that Chingoto's been playing so much better than Dineno, because looking at him, kind of, if you were to look at their kind of CVs next to each other and look at their shots, you'd think that maybe Dineno could offer a little bit more than Chingoto, that maybe he's a little bit more of a complete player. But Chingoto's obviously currently proving the contrary. But yeah, I just thought it could be interesting. I don't know what you think about Dineno and Galán's chances as a pair.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think before going to LeBron, I wouldn't be surprised if Galán tries Dineno first, just because of that whole person relationship thing that we discussed. I mean, I think he would want to give himself a shot with Dineno. We do know that Dineno in the past, actually, when there were rumors that LeBron and Galán were splitting at the end of last year, that Dineno called Galan to play together. So I think I see it very likely happening, and I see it very likely for it to be Galan's next pair. Unless obviously Goy and Tapia split, which I'm pretty sure then we know that Galan and Goy would probably play together. But
yeah,
the only thing I'd say is, and I think this is very similar to Stupa and LeBron, is Dineno needs to be at the level that he was last year, right? I don't think that Dineno, how he's been this year, could probably challenge Galan could challenge Goy and Tapia, because as you said, Chingoto's been much better than him this year. And Galan and Chingoto have been they haven't really been able to challenge Goy and Tapia consistently, right? They've obviously beaten them at a handful of tournaments. But in order for Galan and Dineno to do that, Dineno needs to be at the level he was last year. And I think the same thing about Stupa and LeBron. I mean, Stupa needs to be at the level he was last year when they were challenging Goy and Tapia. The thing is, and that's the question, right? Can they get to that level and can they sustain it for that long? I mean, they played so good last year. I don't think we realized how good Los Super Pibes were. I mean, given their condition. So, and you know, they're obviously not as incredible, I would say physically, let's say, as talented as someone like Goy and Tapia, right? With the height and everything and the smashing ability. Mm. So the fact that they were there neck and neck, I don't think we probably appreciate how good they must have been level-wise to still be out there until the last tournament. So I have question, like, to me, that's basically, I don't think they can go beyond that, right? I think that's like their ceiling, like maximum level that they can be at. And the question is then, can they get back to it and can they sustain it? If they can, then obviously I think they'd be, you know, either for Stupa and LeBron or Galan and Dineno. I mean, they could definitely challenge Goy and Tapia in that sense.
So what's become quite obvious from this debate is that even though Stupa and Dineno and Chingoto and Galan as pairs have been the closest and, well, Goy and Tapia's fiercest rivals beyond LeBron and Galan, we both think that that's kind of the ceilings for both Chingoto and Galan and Stupa and Dineno. We don't think they can go beyond that.
That's the thing, right? That's why I'm more inclined, like, that's why I'm more optimistic, let's say, about a Galan-LeBron partnership, right? Because I feel like Chingoto and Galan and Los Super Pibes and any sort of combination of those, like, I feel like we've seen the players at their ceiling games. I don't necessarily think, like, Galan, I mean, if Galan's been playing how he's been playing this year and he would be with someone like LeBron, I mean, I think that would be incredibly tight for Goy and Tapia. But the rest of the players, I think we've almost seen them at their ceiling. Like, I don't know if they can get to an even greater level and then sustain that for a whole season. But LeBron and Galan, we haven't really seen them actually kind of at their peak. I mean, we saw them in the first tournament, but that's obviously still the first tournament. You know, you don't have the rhythm of the competition. And they were incredible, right? Then obviously all yeah, exactly. They beat them and the final was like really good level. So you still wonder about, and obviously the year before, I don't think it's a perfect comparison because LeBron was obviously injured. But they still had really good moments towards the second half of the season. But then Goy and Tapia kind of probably weren't as motivated and their level definitely dropped. So I still feel like Galan and LeBron have a level extra to give that the potential other partnerships or combinations don't. So that's kind of where my head's at, really.
Yeah, and maybe just one final point. I think the mental side of this is a key point. And the fact that LeBron have been the number one ranked pair for so many years, and the fact that they actually kind of lost that number one spot, not fully deservedly, because they were obviously very affected by LeBron's injury and they couldn't play a lot of those tournaments towards the start of last season. I think that mental side of it probably gives them, so Galan and LeBron, kind of the faith in thinking, hey, we lost it because we weren't at our best, but 100%. If we are at our best, we can win. Goy and Tapia from the other side are probably thinking, these guys are the only ones that we haven't actually beat consistently throughout a number of months like we've done against Stupa and Dineno and Chingalan.
Exactly.
And when you look at their comparison against, well, when you think about Goy and Tapia, thinking about Chingalan and Stupa and Dineno, they're probably saying, hey, if they were to team up together, we've already beaten them. And from Chingalan and Stupandineno's side, they're probably thinking, if we were to go, well, if Stupandineno were to go back together, even though they played so well, and if Chingo Dongalan decided to continue next season, they'd probably think, hey, we've given it a go and it didn't work. Can we actually do it? So I just think that mental side of it is so key. And that's why I'd almost favour beyond Lebron-Angalan, who are clearly positioned as our number one contenders. I'd prefer adding a Yanguas into the equation and trying a new pair, because you haven't seen that ceiling. But 100%. More importantly, you haven't seen, I mean, not you haven't seen, that mental side of the head-to-head against Goiantabia is non-existent. And I think that's so important.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point that you make, because all these other, like all the Neno Super Pibes stuff, they're probably thinking like, you know, I have to be at my absolute 110% to beat these guys. And I have to do that a whole cross year, right? And as you say, someone like, well, Lebron and Galan, they're probably like, we were never at our best, right? Like, we can still give a lot more. So mentally, it's just such a different frame and a different state of mind to be in when you're thinking about challenging Goiantabia. And then someone like Yanguas, as you said, he's probably thinking like, I've actually never really been with someone that I can actually challenge with, right? So if he pairs up with like a Galan, then he's like, okay, now I can actually challenge them properly. And then that just gives you that extra mental edge. So yeah, really, really good point, I think.
Lovely. Well, I mean, to be honest, I do think we've maxed out this debate, but obviously, as we always say, we'd love to hear our kind of fans' thoughts. Just drop them in the comments or get in touch with us, because this, as you know, Gons, is one of my favorite topics. When you've got a dominant pair, you're thinking, right, when a pair's going to split, when are we going to watch new pairs, because it's just so much fun. So yeah, guys, please share your thoughts with us.
Yeah, I would love to hear your thoughts. Do leave it in the comments. Obviously, if you did like the video, give us a like and subscribe as well. And yeah, I mean, as we're heading towards the end of the season, I'm sure that these conversations are just going to be more and more frequent, given that obviously probably time for players to think about what they're doing next year, who they're going to be pairing up with. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, we start hearing these rumors about like splits and all of these kind of different pairings as we normally do. But yeah, I mean, it's been a great episode, and I hope that everyone enjoyed.
Mate, have a great week, guys.